Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also catch me on the Game Brain podcast every now and then. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you doing today, Ronnie?
I'm doing great, okay? Because Top Chef is back in my life.
Oh my god. Did you mean to take so much time off in between seasons, Top Chef?
Really? And, you know, I watch a lot of Food Network. I watch a lot even more than that, because now with YouTube TV, I can watch all... This is not a commercial, by the way. I watch Taste all Made? This... Yeah, Taste Made. What channel is that? Is that its own channel?
Yeah, Taste Made. There's on YouTube TV, there's a channel for Taste Made, which I thought was just like a blog, but it has a, and they basically have just like these very super chill, quiet cooking shows all day long where they just bring in chefs. Like I saw Shirley from Top Chef, and she came on and she was like, she was just so Shirley. She was making, I forget what she was making. I think maybe some sort of soup, but she went and like grabbed this hot pot with her fingers and she was like, oh, don't worry. Like, you can't do this at home, but I'm a chef, so I don't have any fingertips anymore. And she's just like holding blazingly hot things and just like cheery, like typical Shirley.
Oh, Shirley. So I watched that. And yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Just really chill people. Because sometimes they're like, hey, you know what? Like this guy I watched yesterday said, hey, I just moved to LA, so I'm just trying to eat a little healthier. So I'm going to make some crispy fish. And I was like, wow. Is this an audition tape? Because you need to light a fire under your ass, sir. But I watched that, and I watched all the Food Network shows, and some of the competitions I'll try to watch. You know, I watch Chopped every once in a while still, just because I love watching Alex Guarnaschelli be disgusted with people.
Yeah,
I will never tire good. Of that. But I watch a lot of those, and Top Chef comes back on, and watching so much Food Network really makes me just – remember how great Top Chef is, because yes, these are the top of the line best chefs in the country. They're making amazing food every time. They take themselves very seriously, as yes, they should, and it's just so much better than someone trying to serve mac and cheese with cod like on the fucking Food Network show sometimes.
Yeah, I have to say I recently did watch something on Taste Made where it was like the chef that they brought on for this episode was, I think, like Irish or doing some sort of like take on Irish food. I don't know. He made Irish nachos, which was basically like mashed potato. It was a weird potato. I can't even remember what it was, but it was so, it didn't look like it worked. And it wasn't like, oh, nachos have to be tortilla chips. It was me saying those ingredients do not play together. What are you doing, sir? And so then to come on to Top Chef, it's like, oh, thank God. Thank God. I needed this in my life, because after Top Chef last season, which was fantastic, I was able to, you know, hold myself over with Padma's, you know, feed the nation. But that was only like six episodes. And then I was like, there was nothing left for me to watch. And I tried watching Stanley Tucci's show. I really did. Everyone loves it. It didn't totally click with me. I don't know why. I want to support it. You know, Stanley Tucci went to my high school. How about that? So I really felt like an extreme amount of local loyalty, but it didn't really work for me. Have you seen it?
What is it?
Stanley Tucci, where he goes to Italy and he's like, I'm Stanley Tucci and I'm looking for the real Italy, so I'm gonna walk around and try pizza and stuff. It's one of those shows.
No,
you know?
I'm kind of sick of the guys walking around eating shit. I've kind of had it with that, I have to say. I don't watch all those shows. I used to be really obsessed with Guy Fieri. Not obsessed with him like I love him, but I love his show. And then I would try to make all the diner food, because some of it is so good. And, of course, most of it's crap, because, I mean, how many restaurants are there? You know, like, he's been everywhere. Right. I think I just had my fill. And, maybe, you know, I blame Guy Fieri, honestly. For everything that goes wrong. But, especially for getting sick of those watching people walk around and eat. I hate watching people eat in general in real life. So, like, Stanley Tucci, like, you're a good actor, you know, possibly Lebanese. I don't know. But no.
I think he's Italian.
But is he Italian part Lebanese? I don't know. Listen.
Maybe he's...
My Lebanese he's a little family bit of both will claim of us. Anybody, okay? We'll claim anybody to be Lebanese. If they're good in any kind of movie and they're not completely white, we're like, they're Lebanese.
Yeah. I think that he's a little bit of both of us. Let's just say that. Even though I'm not Italian, a lot of times people think I'm Italian, And again, he went to my high school, so I feel like we can both lay claims to him, you know.
Okay.
Urban legends about him being Lebanese, etc. So Guy Fieri also, by the way, one thing that he did do is he definitely brought down the quality of Food Network star to the point where we had that one season, which has become for us kind of iconic, which is where they introduced Kim. They had to cook with crazy gross ingredients, and one of them was kimchi. And there was a lady on there who was like, "Kimchi, what is that?" And they kept showing close-ups of it bubbling because it was fermenting, and they were acting as if it was the most obscure, disgusting thing when it was actually delicious and, like, you know, like a national, extremely important, vital recipe, cuisine, ingredient, whatever, in Korea, right? So yeah. If I've always feel like at the beginning of our Top Chef season, we always have to give like a few disclaimers. So I feel like I want to add one thing, which is that if you ever hear us go kimchi, that's what we're talking about. Because it occurred to me, we always go kimchi, and people must be like, why do they do that? Why do they go kimchi? Because it's from Food Network. It was, and then of course, our favorite disclaimer of all. Do you want to do this one, Ronnie?
We're not calling Gail fat. Okay. Here's the thing.
We love Gail.
We just feel, and Ben started this on his Top Chef blogs. We both used to be Top Chef TV bloggers. Okay. I started TVgasm at TV. I did not start TVgasm. I started at TVgasm as the Top Chef recapper. And Ben, when Ben left TVgasm, was doing photo recaps on his site, B-Side Blog. And Ben had the funniest running joke that Padma hates Gail. And so it was just it was hilarious. Every time I would read everyone just to see you bag on Gail as Padma. So we're not really bagging on Gail. We love Gail. I think Gail's amazing. Yeah. Okay. I think Gail should be in everything. Like, I'll watch Friends and be like, why isn't Gail? Why isn't Gail?
Totally. Like, why wasn't she in Nomadland? Tell me that. Why wasn't she in, like, a little van?
Like, is Matlock supposed to solve things on his own? Because Gail would be better.
Maybe she should have been on Kojak with Telly Savalas. That was a redemption moment for those who really listen to the podcast.
Yeah, so we do not hate Gail, and we do not think Gail is fat. We're just making jokes as Padma, okay? Yep. And that's the last time we're going to explain
that. We're not saying it again. We're not saying it again, okay? Okay. So Top Chef is back. It's in Portland, and the episode opens up with, you know, everyone, like the various chefs. It's sort of like the way Below Deck opens up its season. A lot of people talking all at once. It's kind of like a trailer for the season, but not. And we just see people talking about how pandemic has been difficult on restaurants, which it has been, of course, and having to furlough staff and everything and how difficult it is. And then we see Padma just, was she in like a field or a farm, and she's like, Top Chef is back.
Yeah. And what will surely be an epic culinary showdown. And she's wearing like a, you know, jeans and like a belt with what's that jewelry that's like aqua, this teal beaded, colored from like the turquoise. Southwest. Turquoise, yeah, like a turquoise belt. And of course we get our first, I was nominated for a James Beard Award in 2019. Because this is the show where everybody and their mother got a damn James Beard Award.
Yes.
Okay? James Beard just handing out that shit like it's candy at Christmas.
One eater award. So, for the first time, a panel of all-stars who are not quite celebrities, but they're celebrities for you people, are going to be joining the judges table every single week.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know that I need this whole, like, hey, we're going to have, you know, a full-on group of ex-Top Chef people, especially if that group includes Richard Blaze. I have completely lost, he's a great cook, but I just mean respect as someone I want to ever watch. I lost respect for him, and especially on his Food Network appearances. Like, I can't with you, Richard Blaze. Just stop. Getting, like, a huge floppy, you know, wave that reaches the ceiling does not make you interesting, Richard Blaze. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop trying to have personality with your hair, okay? It's not Thank you. Working.
I agree. I think the reason why they had to do it is because of the pandemic. I think it was probably easier for them to have like a pod of judges, and they knew the only pod of judges that they could get reliably would be, you know, former Top Chef contestants. So I think that's why they're doing it. Even I'm just going to assume. But yeah, so then we see just more flashes from the season, and we see like a lady like squeezing a tomato in slow motion and the juices flying out in slow mo, which is
that's Maria.
The most, was that Maria? Okay. Yes. That was the most like Top Chef slow mo. It's like Maria. Okay. What we're going to need you to do here, here's a tomato and we're going to need you to just squeeze the hell. Oh, you already did it. Okay. You're getting mad at me. Aren't you, Maria? Okay.
Yeah, they show Maria crying. She's like, oh, and then slow motion squishing of a tomato. It's like, okay, so Maria's a mess.
I just love how, but also like, that's like so hard. Like that's, I love the hardcore symbolism in Top Chef. Like, yeah, this is a hard, this is a real deal cooking show. Look, she's squeezing a tomato.
but just her, the way they edited together her first whole thing, because it's like she's crying, then she does a slow motion crushing a tomato, and then it cuts to her going, well, I do need a shot of tequila. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. Fiery Latin lady. We get it, Top yeah. Chef. It's like, they're like, here's 5 seconds of Maria. Here's what you're going to get. And then we see somebody saying, you know what? Cooking, it's the fear of the unknown. Anything can happen. It's like, what?
You're not spelunking, okay?
Stop using, you know, stop picking your raw chicken up off the floor without, you know, washing your hands after, okay? It's not that deep.
It really is. It's the fear of the unknown. Some people, when I saw the movie Gravity and I saw George Clooney float off into nowhere, I thought, man, it's like he's cooking.
At stake for the winner, a feature in Food and Wine magazine, an appearance at the Food and Wine Classic in Aspen, $250,000 furnished by San Pellegrino, and the title of $250,000. Anybody hear that? It's still a damn $250,000. These are very successful people. Give them $1,000,000. And I know you guys think that you're being fancy with your $250,000 damn dollars from San Pellegrino. They got up to what? They got like $100,000 up to what? Last year, 2 years ago? Yeah. Give them a raise.
I know. Pellegrino is like the fanciest. And stop saying, furnished by our friends at San Pellegrino. And then you're only going to give $250,000 from my dear fucks. Friends. Yeah, come on. They're totally fancy water. Cheap. I mean, if it would be one thing if it was like, furnished by our good friends at Crystal Geyser, $250. I'd be like, that right. makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah.
But Pellegrino, it's like
our friends million. At Distilled Kroger Water. $250,000.
Our dear friends at Up and Up from Target give you $50.
But we're taking her way more seriously now because right above her head is a neon fresh sign.
So now here we are. We're in Portland and we're in the new kitchen. And we see Padma as well as Jeffrey. I don't remember. Jeffrey, what's his last name again? Gourdet? He, you know, we love him. He was on last season, et cetera. So the chefs walk
you mean
in.
Gregory?
Did I say Jeffrey? I meant Gregory. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's like Gregory Gourdet. And Gregory Gourdet. You know we're in Portland because the set, you know how they have that big table at the end of the kitchen in the center? It's just got like two chopped pieces of wood nailed to it. They're like, look, it's Portland. Wood.
Hello, chefs. Welcome to Portland and season 18 of Top Chef. And then we see, I just, so it was funny because in the beginning, I couldn't catch everyone's names. So I just started to, I wrote down who spoke based on how they looked. So I wrote down Rumpled Man.
I wrote down Confused, Kind of Drunk Guy. Gabe Morales.
Yeah, it turned out it was Gabe.
Gabe looks slightly confused. He looks like he's probably got an alcohol problem. He's got like real watery eyes and he's always kind of unfocused and always with a faint smile on his face. Like he might be nice, but he might also be a serial killer.
Yeah, he sort of has like a crone quality to him. So he's like, we're at the ledge of a giant cliff. Once you take that leap, there's no coming back. I love the way chefs talk. Like, just God. So overdramatic about every single thing.
Yeah. The most dangerous job on television, cooking things. So he has a brown leather knife bag. He's very fancy, you know, because the lady standing next to him has, you know, looks like she's going camping with hers. Like, if she got in trouble on the side of the road, she could make that thing into a tent, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like, but mine is fancy leather. And he also has Herales stitched on his shirt.
Yes.
And I thought, oh my God, this poor guy. It's like he's trying to be fancy, but he also has deep insecurities about being forgettable. You know, because like you stitched your name in like a pretty font and the brown. I don't know. I worry for
but it's
him
like
now.
You stitch your name into it, but then it's also rumpled, like iron it too. So then we see like sort of like quick like flashes of various chefs talking about what they make. And the very first one just makes me laugh. And by the way, we did do a cast breakdown on Patreon several weeks ago. But I forget everything that we said about the cast members.
Yeah, I forgot too, but it's a two-part cast breakdown. It's really fun. And these, just in case you're looking for this next week, these probably will move to Patreon because we've got so many recaps going on right now. So probably, go join Patreon, damn it. Don't be lazy. And do
which is what we
Crappens level because that will have videos and stuff.
Yeah, and we this is actually what happens with Top Chef. Usually for the first few episodes of the season, we sort of put them on Patreon, and then we'll it'll come back onto the main feed when our schedule is right for it, or we just get really obsessed. So so the first girl goes, I make modern Alpine food, which then I just was like, I can't.
Well, it's so funny because this is the year that it is. I mean, this is 2020, 2021. And so, you know, everything going on in the world, this is the most diverse, season, I think, ever, which is great. But they're showing off their diversity, right? It's like Gabe and Alice, and you've got Maria, and you've got all the everybody from like literally every culture, which is so great to see. And then it just cuts to literally the whitest person who's ever whited. I mean, this
making
girl,
the whitest food, like literally this food that is found on top of the mountains in Central Europe.
Yes, this girl afraid to even go to Rumspringa, okay? This girl, like, gave up Rumspringa to be this white, this girl. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so insecure, which is my pet peeve.
Well, that's a different girl.
No, this girl was... Yeah, but then it cuts to this girl.
Oh,
I
see. Sorry.
You're talking about the redhead girl, right?
No. The redhead girl was Sicilian. I'm talking about the girl who has had, like, little glasses, and she makes Alpine food. The insecure girl, Sarah.
No. The insecure girl. This is the one I'm calling Amish. it goes to all these people, and it gets to her, and she's like, I rustic, like... I like simple grandma style.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. And immediately I said, this is the crier. This is like the insecure crier.
She was one of my favorites immediately when she said she liked grandma food because like, mainly because I can't stand the, you know, like, I do California cuisine. I do like a fusion. I just like to cook with fresh ingredients. Like, you know, that's like, we've talked about that a lot. Like, that's our least favorite thing. I just like to cook with fresh ingredients. As if there's someone there saying, my favorite thing is to find 3 cans of corn and mix it with a can of beans and call it a night.
But it goes like, it's like, I make Thai food with Indian flavors and, you know, pizza pie and also a little flair of, you know, French with, everybody has these like really long lists. And then it gets to this girl. She's like, I like grandma food.
So then Padma's like, standing amongst you is an incredible selection of executive chefs, chef owners, and I think for the first time, we don't have any sous chefs. Wow, none of the losers are here today. Give yourselves a round of applause. Okay, stop.
Well, I guess you're all used to being the boss. That's how fashion feels around Gail, so congratulations.
So who here has ever been a sous chef? Okay, guess what? You were once a loser. Congrats. You're cool now.
So welcome, Gregory. Must feel much better on this side, doesn't it? He's like, yeah, everything's great. Hope everything's
doing
great
that.
Out there.
Do you know, you realize that like every time they have an alum come back, she'd love saying that. Must feel a lot better being on this side, huh? I hope you like that joke. My dear friend Ali Wong taught me it.
One of my dear best friends, Lena Wave, gave me that one.
Lena, Allie, and I were thinking about doing a road trip movie. It'd just be full of so many jokes. We're gonna write most of them, and then I'd be like, "Hey, girls, how's it feel to be on this side of the highway now?" Get it? It's sort of my thing.
All right, well, let's get to know you. So, who here has been nominated for a James Beard Award?
That was such a fun one.
That who is so here? Her, right?
Okay, who here has a James Beard Award nomination? Okay, cool kids. See, you thought you were all the cool kids because you're not sous chefs. Guess what? You're wrong, because some of you don't have awards.
And there are four women here who have been nominated. Fuck yes, Top Chef. Yes.
Yes.
So we start with Maria Mason. And she's like, people might underestimate me because I make tacos, but I have a James Beard, so I don't really care. I was like, yes, girl, yes, tacos.
Yeah,
James
I love her.
Beard Award.
All right, does anyone else have any other accolades? I don't know, maybe like an ad that they got from the Penny Saver for free. Anyone? Anyone?
Hi, let's get to know you. Who here has their own show on Hulu? Just me? Okay, let's get back to the James Beard Award.
Who here has been Emmy nominated? I'll just raise my hand. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Someone here is an Olympic long jumper. I know it's not Gail. Raise your hand, whoever you are. And then, right when she says Olympic long jumper, they cut to the chubby guy. These are three fuckers.
And then so this guy, Gabriel, not to be confused with Gabe, but Gabriel is like, well, he's like, I did win the Eater Portland Chef of the Year. And then like Maria just shrugs like, Eater, you got an award from a blog.
Maria's so bitchy. That was so funny. Oh, and he's also, this is Gabriel. Yeah, he's also the one who's like, yeah, you know, there are a lot of talented people here, but I've worked with some of the best, including Tom Colicchio. It's like, oh, shut up. This guy's such an asshole. This guy is the biggest. I think this guy's going to be the big villain.
I think so, too. I named him in the beginning Plain Guy because he was just exceedingly plain. And by the way, I felt validated. You know why? Because I do remember that during our breakdown, we talked at length about his sandwich menu in Portland. And I think I was a little critical. And then I felt bad. I was like, I shouldn't make fun of like the one guy who's like the local pick that they, but now I feel great about it. I feel so good about it.
Okay. So to the Olympic jumper, it's Dawn, and she is an Olympian. She's like, guess what? Being an Olympian does not define me because it wasn't until I retired that I jumped feet first. I was like, okay, you can't say that being an Olympian doesn't define you. And then like say jumped all cutesy style in your intro, ma'am.
Oh, you should have seen it. That sounds like the time that Gail heard there was a sale of mashed potatoes. Talk about jumping feet first. Am I right? Am I right?
Well, you might notice the kitchen is larger. I'll give you two guesses why. That's right. Gail and Simmons.
The kitchen's a little bit larger. Okay, for your first challenge, you have to make a Gail joke. We'll start with you, plain guy.
Eater. Did I mention Eater? I was nominated.
Congratulations. Is that an award sponsored by Gail?
Well, guess what? It's because we're in a pandemic, so we're getting tested regularly. If I got tested more often, I would have a swab up my nose right now.
Did you like that one, Ali Wong? They'd call me Swab Nose. Good old Padma Lakshmi Swab Nose. God, it's fun being a comedian.
So then we meet Shota, who's like, listen, I had to let go. Oh, yeah.
He had
a restaurant, so he had to let go of 30 humans. And he's just happy to be back in the kitchen, you know? And then Batman's like, here we go. And then she takes her fist and starts doing like a dance in place thing with her fist. She's like, here we go. Look at me dancing. It's new fun Padma. Catch me Tuesdays on Hulu Television.
I missed that. I'm really sad that I missed Padma's wrist dance. So now the quick fire starts, and all together, the 15 of you represent an incredible diversity of cooking styles and cuisines. Before you arrived, we asked you what ingredient you couldn't live without in the kitchen, and those ingredients are up here in these boxes behind me.
Yeah. Oh, I was so worried for this because... Actually, I really liked it because you know that they're just trying to fuck with them because everybody tries to pick the snottiest thing that they can't live without, you know?
Yes.
I can't live without... you know, quail eggs or whatever. So we start with Brittany, and she's kind of the dorky girl with a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah, she's like sort of Melissa McCarthy-esque. And
she's like, I just cannot live without queer. I can't live without it.
Okay. This ingredients you cannot live without. In my mind, I'm thinking olive oil. I'm thinking lemons, things like that.
Salt.
Gruyere cheese. Salt. Yeah. Eggs. Butter.
Gruyere.
She's Gruyere. Gruyere. Yeah.
And might I introduce you to my good friend Munster? Okay, because that's a lot easier to just have in the fridge in slices, you know? Like, who has Gruyere just sitting in their fridge to munch on?
She's like, I cook alpine food. I have to have Gruyere. I need my Lederhosen. I need my Gruyere. I need my Alpenhorn.
So they draw knives and separate into four teams. And we learned that Sarah is the head chef of something. That's all I wrote. So I was like, I don't know about this one. She's scaring me already.
Well, she's certainly no sous chef. Am I right? Am I right? So basically they have to, everyone has their must-have ingredient and they get put into teams and they have to, as a team, create dishes that are cohesive with all their must-have ingredients. So basically whoever gets stuck with Brittany and her Gruyere is already at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah. So we start finding out, okay, now this is where Top Chef gets tricky because shit just starts hitting the fan and everything is happening at one time and I cannot vouch for anything I'm about to say. Okay.
No, please. That's a mess. Just start saying ingredients.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So one team has butter, which, you know what? Good for you because that's something real, right? And
someone kept it real.
Yeah, someone kept it real. Someone got butter. Someone had rice vinegar. Also, you know what? That's pretty good. That's real
good.
As well.
Pretty good. Real.
And what else did they have?
Kombu. They also had kombu. I'm not really sure what kombu is. It's something I feel like I've heard of. And let's see. Kombu, is that like a seaweed thing?
Kombu.
It is edible kelp. Edible kelp. I think that's okay. I mean, I think edible kelp's a little bit... I don't want to say it's more rarefied because I feel like, you know, maybe like in Japanese cuisine, it's not rarefied. It's probably common. So I think that like I give a check plus to this team.
Yeah, they have the most normal things, I think. And Roscoe's like the big guy and he's all sweating. So I felt for him because social distancing, you know, which we've all learned in the past year, just means more walking. For some of us, you know, it's like, wow, everything's 6 feet apart. Great. So now I'm sitting like a block away from the restaurant. Thanks. This feels great. Okay. I'll be hiking my way over to that goddamn table. You assholes.
Yeah. So then we have team number two. And this is where we have the plain guy who won the Eater Portland Award. This team is chocolate, caul fat, and Gruyere. So it's... The caul fat is our sandwich guy from Portland, and he's like, I just love caul fat because you can put it on something that's lean and it'll be juicy. And I'm like, yeah, that's what fat does.
And people don't order lean meat from you so you can cover it in fat, sir. Okay, this is someone who's tricking people on a diet. You know, who says that? He's like, but oh man, caul fat and chocolate? How am I supposed to do that? He has kind of a weird nasal thing going on. And then we go to mushroom powder, apple chutney, because Avishar is like, my mom's chutney is a must-have, which is so cute.
It is cute. mushroom powder, that's interesting. I'm sure
you
it's
can
like,
live without mushroom powder. Umami. Give me a fucking break, okay?
I'm sure there's probably some pretentious commentary about umami. That's like, you know, mushroom is just like, it's just like an umami bomb. And like when you have the powder, it just like takes it up to the next level. Mise en place.
So let's see. Then we get to the green team. And who's Arales? Is that his name? Is that a guy's name? I think there's somebody named Arales, and he's bossing
all
the girls.
Oh, that's Gabe. That's Rumpled. Rumpled man.
Oh, it's the slightly confused, possibly alcoholic, watery eyes man. Okay.
With his rumpled shirt. And they have fish sauce, smoked trout roe, and masa. I think this is like pretty solid. I think the smoked trout roe, I love a smoked trout roe, but like I think that's a little like, is that really an essential ingredient? Is that the one thing that you cannot live without? Like fish sauce, I think for sure. And Masa, I think for sure. Smoke trout roe.
Yeah.
A little pretentious. You're just trying to be snotty.
Who picked that? Do you remember?
I don't know, because at this point I didn't remember anyone's names and everything was going so quickly. I just was like, I'm not going to bother. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's too much. So he's bossing around his team, which is all ladies. And Jamie is like a little short lady who likes making sounds for everything, which I love that that's her character development. She's like, well, I really like making sounds, you know? So like when I'm in the kitchen, I ask my people for and then they get me a Vitamix and a cutting board.
Yeah, she's basically the guy from Police Academy, you know?
Bloop, so, bloop, bloop,
so then we have, then we go back. So now we go back to the plain guy, and he's talking about how they have the hardest ingredients, Gruyere and caul fat and chocolate. And then the Alpine girl, Brittany, goes, okay, so you know what? I'm going to make some sort of sauce that has Gruyere in it, you know, like a salsa verde kind of vibe. I'm like, what part of Gruyere is a salsa verde vibe? Just curious, asking for a friend.
Yeah. So then we go to Kiki, Sarah, and Sasha. Sasha or Sashi? I don't know. My typing is Sasha. I was typing so fast. So they have peppers, lemons, and anchovies. And the girl from Sicily, which one was that? Sasha? That's Sasha,
that's,
right?
That's Sasha, yeah.
She's like, you know what? You know what's really important in Italy? Meyer lemons. Oh my god, they are so Italian. I grew up Italian, and you know what Italians love? Meyer lemons. Okay, that is what is important. This girl was obsessed with her damn lemons.
She was. I mean, they had a good combo. Anchovies, lemons, and peppers. That was a really good combo. I would have thought that, like, if I were like an Italian chef, I would think my like my non-negotiable must-have ingredient would be like semolina flour to make pasta. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Or tomatoes. But you know, but Meyer lemons, I support that too, actually. But she was very obsessed with the Meyer lemons.
She just loves that. She's very serious about her Meyer lemons. And then yeah. Kiki, who likes doing African food. I think she said West African food, right?
Yes, I think she's West African food.
Yeah, she's using Scotch bonnet peppers, and she's like, these are hot as shit. Yeah. And she's like, and she's pretty cute and funny. So then we get to Nelson, and he's using plantains, which I like as well. You know, I think that one's a pretty
good. Yeah, I think that's solid.
I like them as long as they're not too snotty, you know?
Yeah, and like listen, I love a snotty ingredient. Yeah, I love a snotty ingredient. Like, I do love, like, a salmon roe or a trout roe or whatever. I just think that if the challenge is something you absolutely cannot live without, when they do something that's like very, very specific, it's like such posturing, right? And as they enter this arena, you know, it's so chefy.
It is. I mean, I prefer Maria's myself. You just hear her go, Mola's going, Poppy.
So then Maria is like, she's basically having the plain guy taste her food to see if it's like all right. And he goes, acid? And she goes, no. Like, never mind. Eat her, Portland.
Yeah. She's not liking him, which I like, because he's just he's aggressively arrogant. Bland and arrogant.
Yes, aggressively bland and arrogant. Terrible combo.
So then we go to the Amish, in my mind, Amish girl. I don't know who she is, but she's like,
Sarah.
You know what? My word. Of course, it's Sarah. Okay, Sarah Plain and Tall.
Sarah Plain and Tall.
Yes. So maybe, you know what? Maybe I don't belong here. That's my insecurity. I mean, I have a James Beard domination, but, you know, I'm just the kind of girl who likes to chill and maybe cook some food. Have you guys put up the picture with me and my cats yet? I mean, I don't want to boss you around, but if you could, would you? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for asking you. That's me and my cats.
Yeah, I like how she's, I like her just like, I don't know if I belong. I mean, I do have a James Beard Award nomination. I guess I'm one of those four people here on that cast who has it. But, you know, I'm just not into chef things. I mean, I do have a giant tattoo on my arm, so I guess I'm into some chef things, but
yeah, I just don't belong here. I'm sensing some faux humility from this one. I'm not really buying her whole.
I do like her, though.
I'm a winner. What, me? Like, I don't buy it.
I like her. I like her. But I do think it's funny that she's like, I don't belong here, even though she has a James Beard nomination. So there's just like more cooking. And at one point, so Jamie, who does the sound effects, her team is making some sort of fish. And she plates the fish and then she puts a sauce on the skin. And Dawn loses her mind. She's just like, why are you doing that? You never put sauce on the skin. And then she tells us, my assumption is that every chef would know that you don't put sauce on a crispy side of fish. And then she's like, now it's soggy. And I'm like, that makes sense. But then later on, we see they totally put like a little salad with dressing on top of the fish. So I'm like, you were going to put wet stuff on it anyway, Dawn.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they did that to hide it, you know? So then, let's see. Chris is like, I don't feel my butter is pronounced as I needed it, which I just love to hear. And then Portland snot, that's Gabriel or whoever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Gabe.
He's like,
it was Gabe and Gabriel, yeah.
He reminds us again. He's like, I've worked for Tom Colicchio, and, you know, I think this is how we should arrange the plate because that's something he does. And Maria goes, well, he does, but that's not us.
Yeah.
Which well, I because really
he, liked. He left the time stems on in the plate. And so they were taking out the time stems. He's like, no. I've worked with him. This is what he likes to do. It was so obnoxious. God. Just take the time stems off. Tom not even judging this competition.
Yeah. Hands up, utensils down. So we start with the brown team, and they've made harissa seared halibut with a roasted tomato lemon and salsa verde herb salad.
Yeah. And what was your ingredient? Kiki. And Kiki says scotch bonnets or whatever it is. So Padma likes it, actually. She goes, that was a very nice blend. I mean, imagine if you just had chocolate, too. Does anyone here have chocolate? Wow. Think about that, chocolate team.
And they had pretty much the easiest ingredients, right? Because they picked simply, and they all went together naturally. So then we go to the blue team, which is Chris, Roscoe, and Shoda. And they made scallops with the comba butter. And Roscoe's thing, I think, is pickled things. Is that his thing? He's like, I love pickled things.
Because he did the rice vinegar. Yeah, so he made pickles for the top. And Padma's like, butter, rice vinegar. Have you guys even watched Top Chef? I mean, we have all those things in our pantry. Nice try, lemos.
So then we go to Avishar, Byron, and Nelson. And they've done a surf and turf with earth of mushroom and scallops.
Earth of mushroom. Sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then we go to the green team, which does Oaxacan halibut memeta. I think it's called memeta. I'm not sure. And smoked trout crema. And Padma's like, which one of you dummies cooked this fish? And they're like, well, we all did. Like, I put it in and I flipped it and I took it out. And Padma goes, you all cooked the same piece of fish? Come on. You're talking like sous chefs, losers.
Yeah, sous. I thought it was really funny because that was Dawn's answer. She's like, yeah, we all did. I put it down. Gabe flipped it. And Jamie glazed it, fucking idiot. She's making sure that in case they get in trouble for soggy skin, Jamie's going to go down for it. I was like, that is very, very tricky, Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn.
So then we get to Portland Snot, and they did pork loin, caul fat, gruyere uncle fat.
And Padma's like, Gruyere, Gremolata, are you sure about that, you idiots? Who does that? And they're like, no, try it. So they eat it, and then as they're walking away, Gabe is like, we got this. I totally heard her say, mmm. I'm like, Padma always says mmm about everything. It's usually a bad sign if she goes, mmm.
Yeah, but you know what Padma also said?
What?
Wow!
This opened my eyes up more than the history of the hot dog. Do you guys know the story about the hot dog? I guess you haven't been watching my show, Taste the Nation.
Where did burritos come from? We'll save that for commercial break.
Hey, all you chefs with your highfalutin awards, can you answer me one question? What is chop suey?
Well, this was an impressive start, but there were a couple of dishes that galed. Blue team. And Gregory being the one to break the bad news is so funny because he's so sweet. You know, he's like,
yeah.
Well, blue team, I'm really sorry, but yeah, I just didn't think it was very buttery. And it lacked some acid.
Meter. Go on, Gregory. Be mean. It's okay. You'll enjoy it.
Nav and Green Team, you're also stupid. I'll say that for Gregory because he's being too nice. You're dumb. Green Team rhymes with stupid. You're dumb. You suck, okay? All I got was fish and garnishes. You know what I'd appreciate? I'd appreciate a map to find the origination of burritos.
Hey, Green Team, your dish is like one of Gail's dresses, just a full-on mess. Okay, Gregory, you do it now. Just remember, you're more famous. They have no power over you.
Guys, in case you keep hearing loud crashing sounds, I've been trying to hang up pictures on my back office wall, and one by one, they've come crashing to the ground.
Did another one fall?
Out of eight, only two time? Are up there.
Oh, no. Who's going to be the last picture standing?
Let's see.
Congratulations. You are top picture.
God, right now standing, there's blink, 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 blink from Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then there's Martini Medicine from Southern Charm. So those, and they're also, they're both blue. So we'll see which picture wins.
I can tell you one thing about the final two pictures. They're not Sue's.
Which one of these two pictures has won a James Beard Award? Neither one of you? Okay, fine. You can both fall off. So now it's time to talk about our top dishes from the quickfire. Brown Team, we loved how you paired anchovy and lemon and pepper because it was the easiest thing you could do, you stupid idiots. Try to push harder next time.
Let's see. Where am I?
I love the Maya lemon and the salsa verde. That was lovely, especially because they came from a bunch of idiots.
So who won? I looked back at pictures and now I'm completely lost.
So the brown team actually won, which was anchovy, lemon, and whatever the other ingredient was that I can't even remember.
That
peppers,
Maya
hot
lemon
peppers.
Was so Sicilian.
So Pat was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna put Gruyere in my gremolata now." Did you already say that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm caught up. So the
hey,
brown
Ali.
Team wins.
Hold on, let me call my dear friend Ali Wong. Hey, Ali, have you ever had gremolata? Yeah, you ever had it with Gruyere in it? Okay, I'm gonna make it for you. Sorry, famous people talking.
Now this was a little weird because they had the easiest things, but also they picked that, you know, so I guess that's a lesson for us all. You know, you don't have to be into like salmon roe or whatever. You can really just like mayonnaise, you know, just pick mayonnaise. You'll win every time. That's what I say.
Yeah. Well, the plain guy, he was really pissed. He's like, damn, I thought we had that. I think we should have won that because of our ingredients. I mean, they had the easiest combo. Like, well, it's not their fault that they were like logical about what's good in their in their pantry. Like, it's not like you guys are the ones that did Gruyere, and I'm not going to get into this argument with myself. I'm not doing this today. Me,
I was the one who knew that Tom doesn't like when you pull the time stems.
Chefs, in a year that's been anything but normal, we're changing things up a bit. This year, Gail will only eat rubber insoles. Okay, let's bring him in.
Well, Gail is just nailing it. I mean, she's not in a terrible pattern, because that's my thing with Gail. She's always wearing horrible patterns. Like, that's her thing. I don't get it. It bugs me, because Gail is so beautiful. Hate it. But not now. Now she's in a white button-down denim dress. She looks great. Yeah. And
she
Tom's there, you know, just
they
being
both
Tom.
Walk in. Mm-hmm.
He's like, wow, hey, chefs, welcome to the show. Wow, look at that. Look at that guy over there. I know that guy. Hey, guess what? I'm not going to be any easier on you here than I was in my kitchen, Portland snobby guy.
Yeah, Tom loves doing that. When there's someone who has worked for him, he loves saying, oh, I recognize that guy down there. Yeah, he worked at Colicchio & Sons. And of course, we all know that Colicchio & Sons is truly a metaphorical title, maybe aspirational, because my son is actually merely a mixologist. Not a chef. I mean, I basically referenced him in my restaurant name, and he still decided to be a mixologist. So we'll just think about that, shall we?
Basically, okay. The restaurant name was Tom Colicchio and Sons, who are gravely disappointing. But apparently that was too long to put on an awning, so we just stopped.
Yeah, we did a focus group, and apparently people were not interested at eating at a place called Colicchio and Disappointments. So Colicchio and Sons it is.
Well, we're not the only people you have to impress this season. Dun, dun, dun.
And then all the other chefs come in, and all I see is Blaze and his tsunami hair. Yeah. I can't with him.
It's so annoying. I knew you were going to be so mad, but I was so happy because since we don't have Malarkey to hate on or Kevin. Oh, we got a message, I think, from Kevin's, it was like Kevin's sister or cousin. And she was like, by the way, Kevin's my cousin, and you guys were hilarious. She's like,
we were so mean to Kevin.
She was like, you guys were so mean, but we laughed the entire time. I don't know if Kevin laughed, but she laughed. Kevin just, I was a little sad that we didn't see Kevin coming in with his hands out like a little airplane, like, vroom, vroom.
Wow. But yeah, we have fucking Richard Blaze. Ugh. So let's see, who do we have here? We've got Dale, we've got Melissa. Got Mar, Richard Blaze with that hair, and I like that Portland snobby guy's like, Jesus, that's some hair. And she goes, "This is our all-star judging panel, and when I say all-star, I mean just kidding. They've done it every elimination and rotate as guest judges, and sooner or later, other people will join."
These are the best that we could find on a limited budget. I like that, with the exception of Kwame, like all the panel kind of just look like everyone's lesbian aunts. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, the men and the women all look like
it was just like, oh, this season, lesbian aunts.
Speaking of lesbian aunts, can we take a break for me to read you this thing? Because I just died.
Oh,
okay,
please.
So I talk on this show about my Aunt Josie, who's like a Trump-loving, you know, bull lesbian. And she's just so funny. I love this lady. So, and she's also not funny at all. She's like, get your ass in gear, idiot. Like, she's like that. And I always talk about her and her goat Habib, because she runs a bird rescue in El Paso. And so she rescues all these animals, but she'll rescue the animals that really shouldn't be, like grackles, you know? Yeah. I get mad. I'm like, why are you saving the grackle? Okay, so my cousin sent me this text from her. And she said, how auntie is this? Says, my most favorite thing I did on my birthday was to play 2 hours of softball. Lynn had payway lunch waiting for me when I got home. Then we ate, and I spent about 2 hours at Lowe's, my favorite store. I love tools. When I arrived with my new purchases, I fed my wildlife, played with Habib, and worked on a couple of projects and crashed at 8:30. Most of you have never met Habib, the deer I raised from a 5-pound fawn. So I guess I had it wrong. He's a deer. I hold a special permit to keep him as non-releasable for several reasons. Drop by or bring the grandchildren over. Like, that is so your lesbian auntie. It's like, my birthday, I went to Lowe's and then fed payway
and then fed the deer. I like that Habib is almost an anagram for Bambi. Almost.
Oh, Habib. Well, she did used to have a goat named Habib that attacked me all the fucking, he just loved ramming into me.
And so this is like, Habib too.
Yeah, I think she just likes
I love the name. When pets have sequels. You know, it's like on The Simpsons, how there's Snowball too. So, okay, so this week's elimination judge is Melissa, who we love, a real life lesbian. And she is just the best, and she won last season. Spoiler! And so now, hey, judges, do you have any advice for these idiots about to enter the stupid competition? And then Kwame's like, just cook with passion, which I'm sure was a really helpful piece of advice. Like, oh, yeah,
thanks.
I was gonna just like not care and just like throw shit in there.
Melissa's like, this competition will get in your head. And someone says, don't be too complicated, keep it simple. And yeah. Blaze is like, what you need is to present a sense of authorship.
Sir, you have a little bit too much authorship, and it's in your bangs right now.
Yeah, you need to present a sense of comership. Okay, comb your hair, sir.
Then I like Dale. Dale goes, really, it just boils down to the plate of food being delicious. Oh, okay. I was going to cook some shitty food, but now that you say it, I'm going to cook delicious food instead.
Well, now it's time for your elimination challenge. From Oregon ducks to bird watching, Portland is obsessed with ice cream. Sorry, that's Gail. Portland is obsessed with birds. First elimination is to impress us with a dish featuring one of these 5 delicious birds found and murdered in Oregon.
Gale. Oh, I'm sorry. Quail. Duck. Chucker, which is what we also call Gale. Look at that little chucker over there. No patterns today, huh? Turkey. Also Gale. And squab.
Blaze is like, it'll be interesting to see someone engineer turkey to fine dining.
And Pamela says, we want to get to know you through your food, so this will be a blind tasting. Can't wait to sense the disappointment. Have fun, chefs.
So they have to do online shopping, which is kind of cool. I like that. She's like, you'll have 30 minutes to drive to Whole Foods in your fantastic cars to pick up a bunch of bags. Because we're still getting a car sponsorship.
I mean, it's a bummer to lose out on, you know, scenes of them running around terrorizing Whole Foods and someone took all the pork loin, you know, or did someone take all the razor clams? Oh, well, man, I was going to do razor clams.
Well, maybe we'll get like the 2021 version of that mess where your Whole Foods shows up and half the shit is substituted. And then you have to deal with like the substitutions.
Or what was that season? I guess it was 2 years ago now where that guy just like ruined everyone's Whole Food cart. Like he like left stuff behind or he bought too much stuff so no one had enough ingredients. And then like, and either they blamed him or we blamed him for the entire season. Or maybe he blamed himself. He felt really guilty about it for a very long time.
Yeah, they never let it go. basically they start picking stuff and cracking eggs because there's like little... I mean, they're really getting on the birds in this one. they're really dedicated to their theme.
So So basically, the winning quickfire team gets to choose their poultry meats, and then everyone else it's just like luck of the egg crack. And so Padma's like, is anyone nervous about cooking these birds? And then of course Richard raises his hand. He's not even cooking or a judge on this episode, but of course he can't help it. So he raises his hand and he goes, I'm nervous for them. And then Padma just goes, I'm nervous about your hair.
Speaking of soaring to new heights, says Gale. She's like, good quiet, one, Gale. Is your cat skills show on break till after the pandemic? Stupid.
Hey, Gale, that was kind of funny. How are you friends with Ali Wong? Oh, I guess that's just me.
So let's see. The Amish girl's like, oh my god, technology, I have to order online. I don't do that well. Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because me and my sister have always said that, holy shnikes. What is that?
Well, it comes from Tommy Boy, I believe. I think it comes from Tommy Boy. Yeah, Chris Farley.
Oh,
it's like a holy thing.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So all the people who are cooking chucker are really confused because no one's made chucker, which is also a partridge, but they've just never cooked it. So they're confused and a little nervous. And then then all the chefs are brought to the hotel because they're going to be living in a hotel. And Brittany's like, I love hotels. I'm so excited to live in a hotel. Oh, my dream would be a hotel on the top of a mountain so I could cook my alpine food and live in a hotel. I'm sad.
Is there a snack machine? Does it have gray air in it? Can't live without it. So is this after they go to Whole Foods?
Well, they don't really. Before. Yeah, I think so. I think that they just ordered all the.
It looks like Swingers when everybody in LA drives in a separate car to the same place. It's like 20 cars driving into Whole Foods. So, yeah, there's like dead animals. There's like stuffed dead animals all over this place. And, you know, some of the cast plays pool and they make a cheers. And Roscoe tells us he's from Chicago and now Alabama. And he became a chef because he went to grad school for art and design. He's like, and I was focused on art, but then I was cooking at Chez Panisse. Then I worked with the most important barbecue pitmaster in the world. I was like, I love his low energy. I just love that he's like a meat cooker and now he has to be in the Snooty Tooty show. He's going to be here till the end.
And he said that he works with Rodney Scott. And I think that Rodney Scott is the guy who did the roast pig for Real Housewives of Atlanta when they went to South Carolina. See? It all comes together.
Good memory.
Yeah.
So then he's like, yeah, cooking and art, I really adore. And I also really want to be a rapper. It's like, oh, this guy's going to win the whole thing. I see it coming.
Yeah, I was like, he's got wisdom on his side. He's chill. Everything's going great. I was like, I like him. I like him a lot. And surely the mantle curse of when I decide mid-episode that I like someone and they're going to go far, surely that won't kick in again.
And Brittany just realized that she left pumpkin seeds in the oven and I never took them out.
And that's like, shwing, commercial break. I was like, okay.
So they start cooking and we start with Portland Snot, Gabriel. He's like, well, last year I opened Mama Bird and there are only three things on the plate that better be perfect.
Yeah, he goes, I cook chicken every day. I mean, chuckers or a squab is just a small chicken. I like how he announces, I cook chicken every day. As if every single one of these chefs don't cook chicken every single day. Like, ooh, how do you have access to chicken? You're so lucky.
And Maria's taking the whole stove, of course. So he's like, damn, girl, you're taking everything. She's like, just move some stuff, okay? I'm doing enchiladas buticinas. I like Maria. She's my favorite. She's my early favorite.
I don't have like an early favorite, but she is definitely in the tier of my favorites. I think like her, Sarah, who I know you don't like, but I like the two of them, and I love Shota, who I think I loved him on the, I think I already loved him on our breakdown. I think my love continues for him right
now.
Yeah,
I like him too. There are actually a lot of them to like this year.
Yeah.
That's why the ones who seem like assholes really stand out, like Portland style.
Exactly. So we meet a little bit from Byron. Byron is from Costa Rica, but he talks to us about how he likes to cook Thai food. And then Roscoe, he tells us, this is where you have our first red flag. He's like, you know, normally I do barbecue, but my adobo is my secret weapon. And I think at that point, we're all like, more like adobo.
Yeah, adobo, not a good secret weapon. I mean, granted, adobo is my secret weapon for guess what? French fries. Oh yeah. I mean, but adobo's like, great and everything, but yeah.
This is supposed to be the challenge where you're supposed to kind of like lead with your strong suit of like who you are, and you do work with like the top pit master in the country, so.
Yeah, well, I can see his secret weapon being adobo for that, you know, for like spicing meat and stuff. Maybe. So let's see, teriyaki duck, Shota. He is using a technique he learned from Chef. I think
so-and-so.
I spelled this wrong. Yes,
Chef so and so, and it involves taking the duck in and out and out. And I didn't write it down. He just was taking the duck in and out, in and out, and I was like, cool.
And then they show a picture of him. He's like, here's one of my pictures when I'm young. Does it have cats? No, Amish lady. It does not have cats. But here's a picture of me.
Can I embroider it?
And it looks, he's got his finger touching his nose. It's a really weird picture. I'm like, is he picking his nose? Why are they choosing this picture?
Yeah. Also, you know what made me feel a little bit uncomfortable was that we'd already gotten this far into the first episode and not a single person said, food saved me. If it weren't for food, I'd be in the gutter shooting up heroin. I was
Give it time. You know, so there's going to be somebody.
So they all love Shota's little laugh. And so then they keep playing his laugh the rest of the episode and all you can do is hear it. And it's kind of like the Madison laugh from Million Dollar Listing. It's kind of like an abbreviated version. It's like a but
yeah,
like,
he has a period in between each ha. He goes ha.
But it's like some,
it's like a Morse code laugh.
Yeah. So
but yeah, he's always laughing, which of course I love because I'm like so then we go to Dawn, who's doing a turkey peanut stew from West Africa, and she's like, you know what? Stews are like sauces and sauces are like soul.
Wow, that was, I would say that was almost like a long jump of logic. So then we see then Sasha is making polenta, and she's like, I'm making polenta because I'm an Italian girl, and that's what I do. I just make polenta, and this could not go wrong, even if I tried.
Nelson is doing Grandma's Mother Chucker, which is funny. And let's see, Avishar is going to do his Bengali dish in honor of his mother. I love love this guy and his mother love. It's so cute.
Yeah,
he's like, carnival. He's like, I'm doing this for my mom.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy. And he's like, honestly, I don't care so much about the judges. I care more about what my mom is going to think about how I do. And I could actually really see that because, you know, his mom is watching with her hands crossed. Like, do not embarrass me. Do not.
Yeah. And then Roscoe is not happy with the way his adobo's going. And Brittany's doing her chucker leg in a pressure cooker. And it's got everyone nervous because you just hear the hissing of the...
I know.
Of the pressure cooker.
I thought it was going to explode. Like, I was getting nervous.
Take it off.
So now all the judges come in to sit down, and Padma's like, I just want to say how excited we are to have you guys here. We're excited to have all you guys here to hear your opinions, and having you all at the table all season long is going to be really fun, or at least as fun as it can be with a bunch of fake celebrities.
Yeah. And then you know that every time these scenes happen, Richard will say something every single time. It's like there's 7 or 8 of them there, but always Richard has to say something. Mm-hmm. She's like, this should be really fun. He's like, yeah, you say as long as I'm not the first to go. I remember saying that.
Shut up, Blaze. Oh my God.
Quiet, Blaze. This is my turf.
And Gail comes back in terrible patterns. So Gail is still Gail. You know, we can still count on her.
She's,
Gail's well, look at you, Gail. Put your patterns back on. Glad we're doing this blind.
Yeah, Gail, I know you love a blind taste test. I guess that goes for your fashions too, huh?
Time's up.
So, first course, it's the squab.
I'm just imagining Padma just yelling that to the back corner. Time's up, idiot.
Time's up.
So first squabs. So we have Gabriel, who made roasted squab with grilled plums and jus. And Padma takes a bite. It's like, that's a positive, Gabriel.
You know what? The sauce is it's good. It's got after notes of plum.
Because there's grilled plums on it, Tom.
And Richard's like, this chef is letting us know they're a fine dining chef. I'm like, they're also on Top Chef. So that's usually... Thanks, Richard. Thanks.
Yeah. So then we get Byron's sweet Thai style grilled squab. And he serves it with the claws on it. And Blaze, of course, you know, has something to say. Respect for serving claws.
Yeah. And Kwame's not getting the grilled Thai flavor. And Dale didn't feel like the sweet potato and salad tied the dish together. So then your favorite, Maria, hers comes out. It's the enchilada. And Tom's like, oh, it's a little spicy. It's got a little kick to it. Sort of reminds, sort of like the opposite of the amount of initiative my son has. It's like, this has got a lot of kick. It's sort of lively and seems to be going places, making me feel things.
Yummy, but spicy.
And Greg can't find the squab. He's like, where is the squab? And Melissa really appreciates the story of it.
Yeah.
Because it tells where she's from. Because it's enchiladas. It's an enchilada story coming soon to Pixar.
Enchilada story. Story of a lovely enchilada.
So next up is the
duck.
What am I?
No,
what am
the
I?
Duck.
I'm like some
right wing
political.
Okay. So, okay.
Top Chef goes right wing.
Cut. Sorry, so Padma's like, I didn't like your enchilada story.
Look at all these snowflakes. New Padma. It's a crazy year, pandemic. So Padma's like, what do we think about duck? Do we think it's an easier bird than the squab, or is it more like Gale? Tough and difficult, but we have to have it anyway.
It's the easiest. They should nail this one. So we start with Roscoe.
They should call it mixology. They shouldn't call it duck. They should just call it mixology. It's sort of the easiest of the bunch. You know what I'm saying? Easiest path of least resistance.
Path of least resistance. So Roscoe brings out his duck with adobo and dumplings, but it's just like a pile of fat because it basically all went wrong. It's like you see the butter swimming on top, and the dumpling is like drowning. It doesn't look good.
It looked like
and weird. Yeah, it's not good.
Weird matzo ball soup. And then so he served adobo, and Dale is like, you know, this is the national dish of the Philippines, and the duck isn't even cooked well, and this is pretty sad. And I had forgotten about that. Like, that's a bold move to cook adobo for Dale. And Dale is, like, famous for his Filipino food. So Roscoe.
Yeah, he goes, this is sad. And Melissa says, this broth is too greasy and too cloudy. I mean, you know, I thought it would be more confident. And Tom goes, yeah, it's a bowl full of fear.
Oh, really? That's what I call Gail's blue apron box.
That's ice cream whenever Gail's coming.
That's the employees at the dress bar when Gail walks through the doors.
So then Shota brings out his soy braised Chuck. Chuck?
Duck. It's a common bird. Duck. Chuck, because there's a chucker.
Why do
on
I
the
misspell
duck.
It every single time?
Chuck.
I keep putting cuke, cuck.
Duck, you dummy. Soy duck. No, Gail, I'm not saying I'm a duck. Put down your Duolingo.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. So, Shona, this is completely deranged, okay?
This I don't is even deranged. Know.
Shouldn't we have been done an hour ago?
Yes, a long time ago. But we, you know. So, they love the duck. Melissa finds it perfectly balanced, and Kwame loves the soy flavor. And Gail says, you know what? It eats really well. It's easy. It's tender. It melts in your mouth. Oh, Gail. Everything eats well to you.
So next up is the quail. The polenta's a little bit too tight on Sasha's. Tastes good, yeah. But it's a little tight, guys. So Sarah does like a coconut yogurt thing. They love it.
It's quail with dates and yogurt. And Amar says, it's a flavor explosion. And Gail's like, this is absolutely delicious. It's unexpected. And Tom is like, yeah, this chef is very confident. I can almost guarantee that this chef is not in the stew room right now crying and trying to crochet something. This is someone who is seizes the world and wants to do young chefy things.
I can tell you whatever chef this is did not skip Rumspringa, that's for sure.
This is a chef who does not want to be a mixologist. This is someone with ambition.
So the polenta on Sasha's dish is, you know, like we said, too thick, and it's too sauce heavy, and Tom says the quail is lost, you know, which is really sad, because not only is the quail dead, it's also lost. It's like, this quail has had a rough life.
What a way to go, just like lost in the polenta. It reminds me of like that scene in Witness when someone drowns in a silo full of grain. It's like the quail in the polenta.
That's how I want to go, just face down in a bowl of grits at Cracker Barrel, you know?
So
turkey.
Yes. I do want to say that Kiki, we didn't talk about Kiki, who served her Moambe quail with sweet corn grits also. Very similar to the polenta one. And this is where the quail's lost. I thought we were talking about the polenta. Never mind. I'll just move forward. Turkey.
That was my bad, I'm sure. Sorry.
That's okay. It's like, were we talking about the quail that was in the polenta or the quail that was in the grits? All I know is at one point Padma yelled, "More quail!" So,
like she's upset with the challenge that she set out.
Oh, another quail! How original!
So it's like I said in the 1988 elections, "More quail!" I'm right wing now.
So Jamie's telling us, she's like, well, you know, I went a little, I don't like my sauce. And then Dawn is plating hers, and she's getting help spooning all the vegetables around her plate, and she's, you know, going towards the finish line, if you will. And then it's time up, and she has not put her peanut sauce on the plate.
The one thing that, you know what would have helped that dish? Some penis. But she didn't do it. She didn't do it.
She's furious, and you can tell she's an athlete because she's like, damn it! Like, she's so hard on herself. And she's like, the athlete in me doesn't forgive myself.
But I don't want to be defined by being an Olympian. But the athlete in me is mad, and I just feel like I wish I could have been there on that podium.
Now, not that I want to define myself as an Olympian, but I'm more nervous than I was waiting for a pee test.
So Chris, I don't even know who is Chris. Oh, I don't know.
But really. Who cares? I mean, he does sous vide things, so I'm not sure that I even want to know him yet, because I don't trust your sous vide, you know, boiling shit in a bag, so it's gelatinous, okay? I'm not sure about this, people, sous vide people.
Well, Melissa says he has too much going on, and then and then they bring out one of the peanut stews, and Pamela goes, another peanut stew, I'm in. It's like every time Gail brings out another pattern, it's like, we get it, Gail, you like busyness.
So Blaze is like, my plate doesn't have peanuts or stew. God, it really must be difficult to cook in these hard times. And Gail's like, well, I'm really sad about the stew that isn't.
Good one, Gail.
But the individual components have nice flavors. And then Jamie's lemongrass turkey with Israeli couscous comes out. And Padma's like, I like lemongrass, I like turkey, and I like Israeli couscous. But it's like one of Gail's outfits. Nothing really goes together.
It's like, sure, I like an argyle, I like a chevron, I like a polka dot. But Gail, when you wear them all together, it's just a disaster.
So Tom likes the turkey because it's delicate and light, but it's lost, guys.
The turkey
it's another
is lost
bird.
All these lost. Everything's lost. You know,
lost
birds. I mean, are we talking about my son's future? Are we talking about poultry here? What's going on?
So the chicken.
Now it's time for the chuckers.
Yeah, the chuckers. The chicken fried chucker. And so, poor guy knows that it just looks like a big pile of poop. He's like, oh, geez, I can't believe I'm sending this out.
Yeah, and basically, it doesn't really, well, so it comes out, and Tom goes, no, you'd expect a lot of flavor in this dish. Eh, it's just not there. I mean, for 18 seasons, we've been telling them to season. You think that's season? Get it? Because that's seasons, and season's sort of a little joke. Great one. I've got to go tell my dear friend Lena Waithe that we got a new writer on the block.
The chucker is fried beautifully, but the rice isn't cooked or seasoned enough.
And then Brittany serves her chucker with sweet potato puree. And Melissa's like, yeah, the puree was nice. The cook was pretty good. Well, it should be acidic, but you know what? It's a plain sweet potato.
Like, anyone? Anyone? All right, I'll just let that one pass.
Dale, you want this one? Come on. You haven't said much.
So then Nelson has a Caribbean braised chucker. And Byron's like, wow, this is amazing. I could even eat it without the chucker.
Who even needs the chucker? I mean, this is great.
So then now they're done. And Padma says, well, I do think that as our first outing, we did get to see who many of our chefs are. And I'm surprised that any of them got a James Beard Award nomination. Am I right?
All right, we'd like to see the roasted squab with honey, the soy braised duck breast, the duck adobo, the Netflix and chilled, and the chubby hubby. All right, just trying to keep Gail interested over here. All right, everyone else can go to the stew room.
Yeah. So then Dawn just starts to cry because she thinks that like all those eight dishes represent the top, and so therefore everyone else is on the bottom. So she just starts to cry. So she's kind of like a mess. And then Sarah, of course, is like, well, I'm pretty sure I put up the worst dish. I mean, I don't even really know how to cook. I mean, I have a James Beard Award and everything, but like, I mean, what's a spoon? Have you ever used a spoon before? Am I right, people?
And then someone asked, did anyone feel good? And of course, Portland Snot's like, well, I feel what I put up was representative of me. So, yeah.
Shut up. So now we're in the judging, and Padma's like, so we actually still don't know exactly who made what. Could the roasted squab, the soy duck breast, and the chinchilla glazed duck, and the glazed quail all step forward? Gail, no, these are actually not my pet names for you, but I appreciate you giving into it. Thank you.
Get off my lap, Gail. Okay, the rest of you can step to the side. So how are you feeling, Amish lady? And Sarah's like, oh my God, terrible. I just felt terrible. I mean, I would do so much different. I'm just not good. I mean, oh my God, I'm so insecure. Somebody validate me.
Well, the four of you standing here are because you had our favorite dishes of the day. Now how do you feel, stupid?
Oh my God, how is that even possible? I suck, and so, oh my God!
She acts like she won the Ford Fiesta at the end of American Idol, the girl. So Padma's like, you had immunity anyway, stupid. So what dish was yours? Let's just get through this.
So Gail's like, every bite was bright and vibrant. Yeah, and it felt like a confident plate of food, and yet you're falling apart up here. I mean, for a moment I thought you had the bowl of fear. Who had the bowl of fear, by the way? Anyone had a bowl of fear?
And she says, well, I just came here. You know, the main reason I came here was just to find confidence in myself. Well, that's what I really need. Confidence. Shut up. Stop with it. I see you trying to make your reality TV storyline, lady, okay? And I'm not buying it. Okay, this show's been on 18 years, which is terrifying, by the way. Well, not 18 years, but 18 more or less, seasons. Though. I'm not falling for it.
Listen, stupid, we didn't ask for the bowl of frumpy, we asked for the bowl of fear. Okay, moving on. Shota.
So he did the duck breast with miso puree, and she's like, wow, to pair squash with puree, that's genius.
And Gail's like, you know, the cooking of your duck is what I was most intrigued by. Oh, really? I thought you were most intrigued by the idea of wearing paisley on your face, Gail. Sorry, that one got away from me. Don't tell Allie.
And he did cook it in a really cool way. He was braising it, and then he took it out and let it rest, and then he would braise it again, and then take it out and rest, and put it in, and take it out, and put it in, and take it out, which is cray-cray, okay?
Yeah.
You know what? That's nuts. Rock and roll, okay?
It's always, it's always good to know what's going on inside the head of a chef who's cooking. You know, like, if they have a technique, or is it just sort of like a... What's the right word for it? I want to say bowl, and I want to say fear. Maybe bowl of fear, anyone? Anyone? Bowl of fear?
Then we go to Gabe's Gentessa glazed duck. It ate beautifully. You know, I just stood outside the restaurant and watched that Gentessa glazed duck eat. When the police said, hey, have you seen the missing duck? And I looked back, it was gone.
It was like a beautiful fall meal. As in, I wish one of you guys would fall over and I could eat something. Hilarious.
Gail says the sauce was the star, and Melissa loved the sweetness of the figs. And then we go to, now what? It's a study Gabriel of simplicity.
Yeah, that was Gabriel Squab, because we had Gabe, and then we had Gabriel.
Oh, okay, so, that's why I was confused.
Yeah, because Gabe was rumpled. Gabe is the rumpled one, Gabe E, and that was when they said ate beautifully. But then Gabriel is the eater winner.
Portland snobby guy.
Yeah, plain guy. And that's where he's like, yeah, I think it would turn out pretty good, pretty well for like not having cooked squab since I worked for Tom. And I'm just putting that out there. I did work for you, Tom. So if you...
That's what, your fourth time this episode, sir? Jeez. Mm-hmm. So Padma, it's like, it's a study in simplicity. And Tom's like, well, you know what? You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide there, buddy. Okay. And Melissa says, you know, my season, my goal was to keep it simple. So I really like that about yours. Okay. I like that your season was keeping it simple too, because that was her big thing in her season, like really learning to edit and do all that. But when it's not you, it's not always good just because you did it. You know what I mean? Sometimes like... I just want to be mad at this guy, so I want them to be like, this is it? Why is this it?
I'm really hoping he does not turn into a repeat of Nicholas from Top Chef. Wasn't Philadelphia. It was Top Chef New Orleans, I think. Because that cannot happen again. We cannot have Nicholas win over, like, whatever her name was, who we loved.
That's too long ago. So... The winner is Sarah. Sarah wins. And she's like, oh my God, now I feel so stupid for not having confidence in my food.
They're like, just take it, idiot. Take the win. And she's like, I will. I mean, I'm sure I'll have some bad moments. I'm going to be terrible. But I'll take this win.
You don't get a fucking parade, lady. Move to the side, all right? It's one challenge. Okay, now step to the side and watch us eviscerate the losers.
Sasha, Avisar, Jamie, and Roscoe. You're the bottom four. Obviously, you know which side you're on. The losers. Start calling you sous chefs from now on, if you know what I'm saying.
So they start with Sasha's roasted quail and polenta, and Sarah's like, wow, well, I feel like I'm taking the beating that Sarah thought she would get. Yeah, it's funny how life works out, isn't it?
So why did you decide to make polenta? Is it because you're Italian? I bet it is. Exacto! Don't you forget, I speak Italian too.
Meyer Lemonnose, nailed it. All right, you have immunity. All right, step aside, stupid.
So then it's Roscoe's dumplings time, and Melissa's just grossed out. She's like, greasy, dried out, gross, basically.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, no, I'm sorry. And then she goes, is this something you do in your restaurants? Because if so, I feel bad for all of your customers. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Exacto. Time call like, back to 5 seconds ago.
Well, actually, what I do is I specialize in smoking meats. And they all go, oh. Which means he's out. They have like zero respect. They're like, a meat smoker. Ew.
And so he basically is like, I work with this guy, this pitmaster guy, and they're like, oh, and Gail's like, oh, well, I've probably eaten your food, you know, like, you do really good smoked meat and you don't mess that up, so I don't know why you gave us adobo.
So next up is Jamie. She did a curried couscous and she messed up the turkey. She's like, I was like, and then I was like, wah, and then I was like, wah, wah, wah. And I was like, dong, dong, dong.
What
dong,
the?
Dong, dong.
Who is this idiot and why do we let her into the competition?
And Gail says that there were strong flavors, but they clashed. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, a piece of music is not all played at the same time. The turkey was drowned. Okay. This was an opera where all the music played at one time and drowned a turkey. Okay.
It was like a song full of fear, you know? So then Avishar and Padma's like, well, Avishar, your fried chukar was great, but the biggest problem was your face, but also the rice and the curry.
And he's like, yeah, you know, I had one of those moments where I was thinking, I'm so fucking cool, and then blam, it wasn't at all. Gail's like, get used to that feeling.
She's right. So then the chefs all go to the stew room. And then, snotty Portland guy, he walks in and goes, you guys are all in the middle. Which was, like, theoretically, like, stop worrying. You guys are fine. But it was also kind of, like, sort of insulting, too. Yeah. Like, you're just the middle.
Yeah, I felt like that, too. Like, he walked in and just called them all Jans. It's like, you're all Jans. So, of course, Amish girl's like, oh, can you believe it? I cannot believe I won. I just never ever thought I would ever win anything in my entire life. I mean, I'm shocked to get a parking space, much less a James Beard Award just for showing up here today.
I love that you just keep calling her Amish girl. So now the judges are deliberating, and Pam is like, we asked them to show us who they are with one plate of food, and unfortunately, they didn't show us enough. They showed us too much at once. Too much is going on with Jamie's dish. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Take it from here, Tom.
Well, I've got a monologue here because it's the end of the show. All right. Roscoe's dish couldn't get... Oh, no. Well, so basically, they discuss who's going to go. So we go to Tom at the end. He's like, well, guys, sounds like a simple challenge. Be raised by great parents who love you. Go to a school that you work hard to get through. Become a master chef. But unfortunately, you just decided to throw some alcohol into a shaker and pour it over some ice and call yourself a mixologist. So tell us who you are. There's no right answer. It needs to be backed up with solid technique, tasty food. So the person going home today is going home for the same reason everyone goes home.
They're stupid.
They made the worst dish.
Oh.
They made the worst dish of the challenge.
Roscoe.
Roscoe, please pack up your please wash the terrible adobo off your knives and pack them up and go.
Well, it's not over for you yet. We'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen, where you'll have a last chance in hell of getting through this competition, but it'll be fun to watch you drown everything in butter and lose birds. Okay, bird loser? Yeah.
Can't wait to taste your next bowl of fear. So looking forward to that. And wow. Roscoe's like, wow, that's so lame being the first one to leave. Womp womp. So yeah. there it is. Roscoe first. So we were ready for a Roscoe season. And it's well, you know, hey, Last Chance Kitchen. Anything can happen. But mostly the last person kicked off is mostly the person who comes back. So yeah. We look forward to that.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was super fun, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We will be back whenever. I mean, you know, we're here every day, so just come back, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.